Perhaps you know Aunt Mabel. Maybe you know Aunt Mabel. At 85, she's outlived her husband by 10 years. Last week, she celebrated their 65th anniversary, sipping tea in front of the window that looked out to the backyard. She remembers a better day. She reminisces a happier time when the old leaning maple was a sapling just planted by the kids, when the overgrown flower bed was a father-daughter science project, and the now unkempt grass was immaculate and was all the talk at family and neighborhood barbecues. Well, she can't manage the yard anymore, for much of the house, for that matter, either. Her children are helping her consider selling and moving. This makes a lot of sense because she's lived longer than the retirement plan that they had set up. Her Depression-era budget keeping has no way of keeping up with inflation. Dollars are few and demand is high. Descendants, neighborhood causes, TV ministries, the church. Man, she just can't give like she used to. The demands to move, to give, and to change are sometimes just too much. Her internal strength is low and direction is uncertain. What will she do? Well, we don't have to be seniors to relate to difficult times and an uncertain direction. The state of the world and the economy have affected all of us. How do we find the strength to keep moving forward when the burdens of the day can seem so heavy? I'd like to show you three principles I found in a similar story in the Gospels. You can turn in your Bibles to Luke 21, verses 1 through 4, or the passage we're looking at is actually on the front of your bulletin if you do not have a Bible or don't want to go to that effort. Luke 21, 1 through 4, familiar story. It says, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small coins. I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all of the others. For all of these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in more than all the others. Out of her poverty, she put in all she had to live on. 4 or 5 simple lines, but they have a heavy impact as Jesus is with the disciples at the temple. He's observing the people and he's using these actions of the widow as a teaching moment for the disciples, much like parents do with their kids when we stop and see a moment that is a teaching moment. He does this with them, and it's kind of a familiar scene for the disciples and Jesus and the people in the temple. Like today, widows were far more common than widowers because men had a shorter lifespan. We still do. And for the widower, remarriage was the only way for financial support or means and protection and provision for the children and self. Carrying on the family name was very important. So remarrying to a brother-in-law was encouraged. Could you imagine? Many widows appear in the Gospel of Luke. You find them in the second chapter, the 4th, the 7th, the 18th, the 20th, and the 21st. And without a husband, widows are particularly vulnerable to exploitation and abandonment. We find many Old Testament passages that attest to this in Exodus, Isaiah, and Malachi. Their goods and their household were prey for legal disputes. and many oppressed and economically marginalized and landless people show up in Luke's gospel. He's trained as a physician, and so he watches people, and he tells the story and includes the folks that many others might not see. So he records Jesus' interaction with the disciples. And he records and knows of the misfits and the down and outers who are in the church. Widows are victims of the Roman social order. And given the narrow margin between subsistence and starvation, the presence of the hungry and poor isn't surprising. The powerless were the standard victims in most of the day. And loss of adequate means of subsistence meant loss of honor or status within the community. And this is the widow that Jesus is pulling up in the story. She's at the temple treasury where these horn-shaped receptacles called trumpets were placed. And Jesus is sitting here near this when the widow goes to, they think, the 13th trumpet, which is one of the one for voluntary gifts, and makes her donation. And the Greek word in verse 4 means more than poverty. It signifies lack, want, and destitution. It literally means out of her less than nothing, she makes a contribution. She's bearing the burden of being a widow, being lonely, being by herself. Yet she still gives. So from her behavior, we can see that if there's a principle here, the first one would be that strength starts with total reliance on God. She had no one else. This historical widow had God's inner glow that probably began as a child. Her reliance on God, her dependence, her confidence and trust developed in the Jewish home as they learned the commands and the ways of the Lord found in Deuteronomy 6. And particularly verse 5 that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, your whole life long, that it may go well with you. She would have also known the psalmist's proclamation that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. The truth of Proverbs 3 was foundational to her inner strength. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all her ways, she acknowledged him and he made her path straight. It was nothing for her to give her two mites because God would provide more. Her inner strength started with a reliance on God. That reliance on God ushered in resilience, flexibility, buoyancy that comes from not being tied and dependent on earthly security. Money, possessions, the accumulation of things. She lost them all when her husband passed away. Out of her poverty, she put in all that she had, knowing God would provide more. Quite a contrast to the rich young ruler who addresses Jesus and says, how can I get into heaven? He's told to walk away from his earthly treasure and he hangs his head low because he knows that he can't. when we're up against all that life can throw at us, God will provide strength, security, and everything He thinks we need to go on. If you're looking for strength in life, it has to begin with a total reliance on Jesus Christ Himself. For total trust in anything else is nothing but a setup for disappointment and most probable failure. To move forward and live strongly when life is so difficult requires total reliance on God. From that starting point, we grow in righteousness with God. Strength grows in righteousness with God. That would be principle number two. Righteousness is having a right relationship with God. Accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, committing your life to live under His lordship and rule. It means He is your moral compass, your measure of value, decency, justice, and what is right. For the righteous, the world doesn't dictate what is important. God does. We learn this by feeding on His Word, having an active prayer life, and living in a daily dialogue with Jesus. It is staying away from the sin that traps and entangles and walking in God's full armor. It is following in His ways that we find balance and harmony and real purpose. The widow's actions suggest she had a value of being in church, and giving was an integral part of her life. And no matter what hardship she was facing, God came first. The widow made it to the temple, living out her Psalm 27 passion. One thing I ask of the Lord, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord, to gaze upon His beauty and seek Him in His temple. Many seniors have discovered this same passion. That's why seniors are one of my favorite ministry folks to work with. The greatest generation, as they've been called, has an experienced view of life. And it seems the closer we get to 80, the clearer of life, the clearer the meaning of life becomes. Not so many hang-ups. Not so many worries. Just a rich appreciation. A better perspective. A group of seniors were recently overheard talking about all their ailments. "Oh, my arms have gotten so weak, I can hardly lift this cup of coffee," said one. "Yes, I know," said another. "My cataracts are so bad, I can't even see my coffee. I can't hold a pen, my hands are so crippled," volunteered a third. "What? Speak up, I can't hear you," clamored another. "I can't turn my head because of the arthritis in my neck," said another, to which several nodded in pain. "My blood pressure pills make me so dizzy," exclaimed another. "I forget where I am and where I'm going." "I guess that's the price we pay for getting old," winced one of the old men. The others nodded in agreement. "Well, count your blessings," said one cheerful woman, "and thank God we can all still drive." Strength starts with soul reliance on God and having Him shape your perspective. It grows as we live in righteousness with Him, and it is maintained with rigorous exercise within the body. Strength is maintained with rigorous exercise in the body. That would be the third principle. And the body is rightness with people. The church the widow attended wasn't really right in Christ's eyes. Had some problems. And He's using this moment to help change perspective. To teach the disciples who would advance the Christian movement and build a new church. In fact, as you go on reading that same passage into the next chapter, he makes the prediction that that temple would be torn down soon. None of it would stand. In this church, as Jesus makes reference to, the leaders steal widows' houses. The mention of this widow here signifies the conflict between Jesus and the temple elite. They proceed to ban him from the temple, and he continues to suggest temple reform. The elitists rise up as the moral entrepreneurs and see Jesus as a deviant. It's interesting, in the temple there were three courts. The innermost one, next to the altar of burnt offering, was the court of the Israelites. All the descendants of Abraham, that's where they worshiped. Adjoining it was the so-called court of women, the name and space beyond which women were not permitted to go. And it contained galleries for women. Not much in the commentaries about what the galleries were for. I imagine women like now like to go and talk together so they could go and do this. Leaving this, one came to the third, the court of the Gentiles. If you were non-Israelite and you became a follower of God, this is where you, the only place you were allowed. Beyond the court of the Gentiles, they would only venture at the risk of pain or death. And it wasn't that Jesus wanted to disestablish tradition, form, or content, but he wanted to change the hearts of the people toward him, lived out in an attitude toward others, the Jew, the Greek, the slave, the free, the brother, or the sister. That in doing ministry, they would consider everyone. That there would not be any temple elite. And as we go on and look at the New Testament and we study, we see that once Christ establishes the new church, the church becomes responsible. He names it for the care of widows and orphans and marginalized people. Folks, we seem to forget about. Jesus establishes a new church where all people are important and all gifts are equal if the heart is right. So what does this mean for us? Usually when you hear that we're going to be hearing a message on the widow's mite, you think it's going to be a story on giving and a sermon on trying to get more out of people and consider how much she sacrificed. I see in this simple story a whole lot more. And the mission of the church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And this holds true for persons of all ages. Do you know that we're living longer as people? The age span is increasing. As healthcare improves, physical fitness improves, medical technology, nutrition, job safety. We're living longer. I read this week that the average lifespan is now moving up to 87. No longer should the church just give special attention to the young people that we think are the future. The largest demographic in our country and around the world is the senior population. I think the church is finally waking up to its duty to older adults to live worthy, to understand the vital contributions they make to ministry and the church. We read in Proverbs that gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. In many ways, God is blessing the church with the gift of longer life, wisdom, experience. Now, we must be actively involved in providing opportunities for older adults to grow in faith, as well as everyone. Life is a gift from a loving Creator. We should be helping all people understand and trust the promises of God related to forgiveness, redemption, and salvation. And that we should stand against cultural prejudice about what it means to grow old, what it means to come to church, what it means to be in community, and develop a new understanding of self-worth based on being a child of God, not by measured by what one has attained or done in life. And to practice the spiritual disciplines of prayer and worship and scripture reading and trying to work together. A strong church relies on God first, then grows in relationship with Him and practices this relationship with others. What can we do personally? Well, we all know lonely, marginalized people, no matter their age. What are you doing to help them? What are you doing to understand their circumstance? Whatever they're going through, a rake, a paintbrush, a cup of coffee, a loaf of bread, and a pleasant conversation will be a great start at you making a difference. Let us pray. God, we just thank you for the story of the widow's mite, and we thank you for the lesson as Jesus was teaching the disciples and teaches us here today. That every person is significant. Every life is a treasure. And we should not allow anyone to go unnoticed. God, help us as the widow did to rely solely on you. To live with a reliance that you are first and all we need. God, help us to live rightly with you, walking in fellowship hand in hand with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and allowing that to make an impact on the lives of others. God, help us find Aunt Mabel. Help us see the people around us who feel like they are unimportant, but have a story to tell. Help us to do ministry and be ministry as we look out and watch out and help out to those you would put in our path. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.